Now you all know why we're playing that song. It's from my main man, K. Powell. Kevin Powell, when he worked the morning show here, we used to cross paths all the time. Now I never get to see the dude. He's doing sports in the afternoon now. And you can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. And Kevin Powell covers sports for Rokan. And we love to talk to Kevin every once in a while, catch up on some sports. And we're going to talk Bears. We're going to talk Blackhawks. We're going to talk hot stove baseball. We're going to talk Bulls and all kinds of cool stuff. Catch up on some sports. Always good to talk to Kevin. Kevin, welcome back, buddy.
You know, I don't miss waking up. And I think I mentioned this last time we talked. I don't miss waking up at 2 in the morning or 2:30 in the morning. But I do miss listening to the Nick D show overnight as I drove into the station from the northwest suburbs, and listening to Bill Withers, just that made my day. Nick.
There you go. It's a lovely day.
It's always a lovely day when I can talk to Nick D.
Yeah, always fun to talk to you, man. How you been, buddy? How you been?
Never been better. Never been better, Nick. I miss you too. I miss seeing you and Dan and that whole overnight cruise. So it's good to talk to you. I appreciate having me on the show.
No, it's my pleasure, man. So tell everybody, when did you start covering sports for Roe?
It's almost been 2 years now, believe it or not.
Has it really? Wow.
Yeah, I want to say like in the spring it'll be a full 2 years. So like March or April-ish, it'll be almost two full years, which is just, I can't believe it. I produced for Steve for 2.5 years, so to think that I'm almost like, I'm closing in on the length of producing for Steve and working for Roe, it's just, I can't believe it.
Yeah, well, you do a great job, buddy.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right, let's talk some sports. I guess we should immediately talk about the Bears. It's been fun covering this season, huh?
Yeah, it's been something. And you know, the biggest thing this year was the development of Mitch Trubisky. If you're going to draft somebody second overall, if you're going to trade all those picks that Ryan Pace, the general manager, gave up to move up one spot from third to second to get Mitch Trubisky. The biggest thing is the development of Mitch Trubisky. And, you know, I think what everybody should keep in mind with Trubisky is I understand that some want to see the second overall pick light it up, right? They want to see the stat sheet filled up. They want to see touchdowns. They want to see victories. Well, there's a couple things to keep in mind. One, he doesn't have a whole lot of weapons. Two, he only played really one full season in North Carolina. I'm not making excuses for the guy, you know, and I think we've probably been a little bit easier on him just because the circumstances he's been put into. But you got to give him a little bit of a break there. And John Fox is clearly not on the same page. John Fox, in his defense, he didn't come to Chicago to develop a quarterback. He came here to win games. Mm-hmm. And that window is clearly closed, and it closed fast with Fox. So, you know, it's obviously a disappointing season. There were some games they could have won, and it's just really turned into a mess, Nick.
It has. Trubisky, though, you know, he doesn't have a great group of receivers to choose from either, though.
Not at all. I mean, Dontrell Inman is a guy they traded for, you know, for about a month or so ago. And he's shown some signs, but Cam Meredith, the guy out of Illinois State, tore his ACL in preseason. That hurt. Kevin White, Ryan Pace's first top pick, hasn't panned out. He's had injury after injury, so he's on injured reserve again. He really doesn't have a whole lot to work for. And then everybody's like, air it out, air it out. Well, air it out to who?
Yeah.
You know, and then he drafts a tight end in Adam Shaheen, who everybody's raving about in training camp. And they don't play him.
Yeah.
So what are you doing as a coaching staff? I understand, like, John Fox's mentality, like I said, his mentality is, I want to win games. So he's going to run the ball. He's going to run the ball with Jordan Howard. He's going to pound the rock. But all of us are like, okay, that's great, and that's fine, and we want to see that. But we already know what we have at the running back position. We want to see what Mitch can do. The most important position in all of sports – in all of sports, is the quarterback position. So you got to develop him. Let the guy throw the ball.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy, Kevin. It seems to me that, I mean, this season has been, you know, obviously a nightmare for the most part. But they keep finding interesting and horrible ways of losing each week. I mean, how they lost last week with Gold is unbelievable. I mean, it's just, you couldn't write that.
It's insane. I mean, five field goals from the guy. And so the spotlight's been on John Fox and how bad of a coach he's been. And I think that's warranted. It absolutely is. But you know what? We're going to start turning the attention to Ryan Pace, the general manager. That was his first big splash, remember?
Yeah.
Was cutting Robbie Gould, who everybody, Bears Nation liked him. He didn't have a great year. His final year with the Bears wasn't his best year with the Bears. Okay. But look what he's done since. I mean, he's only missed, what, three or four field goals over the past 2 years between the Giants and the 49ers. That was Ryan Pace's decision to cut him. Okay, and then you see Jimmy Garoppolo, the Rolling Meadows kid, the Eastern Illinois kid. Ryan Pace, by the way, went to Eastern Illinois. At least check your own backyard, you know? So he beats you. Then Cairo Santos, the guy who takes over for Connor Barth, who Pace put all the the chips into the table for. Barth is gone. Then they hire Santos. Santos is injured this week with the same injury that got him cut out of Kansas City. Mm. I mean, it's just a horrible look for Ryan Pace. It was an awful week for Pace. It was a bad week for John Fox, too.
Now, speaking of John Fox, I mean, clearly he's going to be done after this season, right?
You know what I keep saying? Like, he's gone. There's no question he's gone. And then I'm like, well, there's the Bears. So I don't know, Nick. I want to tell you 100% he's gone, but I just don't know. Like, I don't know how in the world they could possibly retain John Fox, but it's the Bears, and they always leave us scratching our heads. I would say there's a really good shot that he's probably fired on January 1st, the day after their final game.
Yeah, I would not be surprised by that either. I will say this yeah. Bears season, it has been pretty special to listen to OB and Hamp on after the games, OB, Hamp, and Kaz. I mean,
the way we talk about it with Anna Devontae in the afternoon, she always says it's therapeutic, and I think she's right, because I turn it on sometimes. I'm like, okay, good. There's somebody more ticked off than I am
right
now. Oh,
man. I mean, it's just...
Mark Harmon's like curled in the fetal position, just like grasping for his life while Hamp, Obi, and Todd like rip apart the studio. So
yeah. It's
in some ways it kind of is therapeutic, yeah. But man, yeah, it's must listen radio.
All right, cool. All right, let's move on to the Blackhawks. Also playing some disappointing hockey.
Yeah.
And I understand Crawford is supposed to come back this weekend. Is that what we're hearing?
Well, he's supposed to skate, this morning. He's supposed to skate and test out that lower body injury. The earliest he could come off injured reserve is Friday, so he probably won't play Friday, but he could be back this weekend. So the people I've talked to say it's not too severe. So Corey Crawford's the MVP of the season right now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's been unbelievable. He's never gotten – I mean, Nick, you know this. You're the biggest Blackhawks fan I know.
Yeah.
He's never gotten the credit where it should be due.
Yeah.
And this year, he has a little bit, because you've heard guys like Taves, and they've always given him the respect, his teammates and Q and all those guys, but – there's no question. The Hawks would be in a much tougher spot right now. It would look a lot worse if it were not for Corey Crawford.
Yeah, there's no question about it. There's just no question about it. They've just not been playing well. I mean, I don't know, a real disappointing play from a lot of the major players on the team. And, especially a guy like Siebes. Seabrook is not playing, the kind of championship hockey that you normally expect from him. And a lot of the guys aren't putting up the numbers that they should. And it's been very, very disappointing watching these guys this year.
I know. I'm with you, Nick. And it's so weird, because like last year, people forget they won the division, right?
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
They show up in the postseason, and they get completely torched by the Predators, and everyone's like, okay, well, I hope that's just sort of an outlier, and then we come back next year and can win the division again and compete again. And they looked like the team that got completely burned in the first round last season.
Yes.
I mean, they completely do, and you just keep waiting for them to put it together, and they haven't. They just haven't, and it's frustrating to watch, because the talent's there, but and you don't want to buy into a lot of the skepticism you've heard from critics and things like that, because we've all followed them so closely over the past it's almost been, eight, nine, almost a decade now, where this team's been – competitive, but yeah, you really want to see them string some wins together here. And just when they kind of get going, they basically lost four straight games,
yes,
whether it was in regulation or overtime or shootout. So they just can't get it going. It's frustrating.
And they're playing the Caps tonight, and we'll see what happens. But I will say this, there are a few bright spots. Alex DeBrincat is tremendous.
Yeah.
Is he 19 years old, and he is making a massive impression. I love the way that kid plays.
Yeah, and I don't know why so many people doubted him, and I'm like, have you guys heard of Patrick Kane? I understand he's even, they were like, well, DeBrincat's 5'6", 175 pounds. It's like, the Blackhawks drafted and have built an entire franchise around Patrick Kane. I'm not necessarily comparing DeBrincat in terms of talent or skill. He's not there yet. But it's like, come on, Patrick Kane's 5'8", 5'9", and he's been the cornerstone of the franchise. So let's give this guy a little love. And he's turned into a great year. I think he's second on the team in goals right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bright spot there. Panic had a streak where he was scoring, but his whole career has kind of been, a streaky goal scorer. And
right.
Kane's doing his thing. And I think Taves has actually played much better than he did last year. I don't think he's, Taves is a two-way guy, so he's not exactly going to light up the stat sheet anyways. But
yeah.
I think Taves has played a little better too. So
it was,
there's been some bright spots.
It was nice to see Sharp get back on the board because he had a stretch there where he was playing under his talent, and then it was incredibly appropriate that he scored his first goal in a long time on the night that they were the Hockey Fights Cancer night because his dad and he got the goal and he got an assist that night, and he's been putting some numbers up, and Sharpie's playing better than he was playing disappointing hockey for a while, but he seems to be on the upswing.
Yeah, and I would say one other player too, Nick, is Nick Schmaltz.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed him. They put him in center for a little bit, they put him back out to the wing, and I think that's where he belongs. I liked what I've seen from Schmaltz. So, there's some bright spots for sure. You just really wanted to see things put together. Like
I agree.
A stretch, not just in a week, but like a month of good quality hockey.
It's still pretty early though. You know what I mean? It's plenty of hockey left,
question.
And I'm always rooting for my Blackhawks. There's no question about it. Kevin, hang on. Okay, Kevin.
You got it.
All right, buddy. Kevin Powell is with us. You can hear him on the afternoon show with Rokan, and he does the sports there. And you can follow him on Twitter at KPowell720. And we'll talk more sports. We're going to talk some hot stove baseball, and we're also going to talk some Bulls. And also, Kevin dressed up like an elf not too long ago and was in a poker tournament. We got to get the story on that. It's all coming up right here on 720 WGN.
Go, 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 Chicago Cubs. Win that game. Go, 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 Chicago Cubs. Get that pennant fame. Don't forget, Chicago Cubs, we do care for you. And you bet, Chicago Cubs, we are loyal to.
Yes.
Single, double, triple, our home run. Come on, fellas, show them how it's done.
One of the greatest songs ever. And I would, I thank every day or every time I hear that song, I have to thank Rick Geezer for turning us on to that fantastic song. And I don't know if Kevin's ever heard it. Kevin Powell is with us. We're talking sports, and we're going to talk some baseball here. Kevin, you ever heard that one?
I can confirm that is the first time I've ever heard that song, but I love it.
It's Marie Fuller, and
okay.
she recorded it and wrote it for the 1969 Chicago Cubs.
Well, no offense to Marie, but if Bill Withers did it, it probably would have been even better.
Well, it's funny because Rick Geezer, Kevin, obviously. He's the purveyor of sports songs. And,
yep.
He has that great podcast here on WGN for sports songs. He's going to join us during the holiday season. We're not sure exactly, but within the next couple of weeks, because after the next couple of weeks, I'm off until the end of the year. But he's going to join us for his annual Christmas sports songs edition. And we're going to get to hear Honky the Christmas Goose, which is one of the greatest songs of all time. But he brought that song in here, and we played it on the air for the first time, and I almost fell off my chair when I heard it. I just loved it.
I love when Rick is on with you because you think you've heard every sports song and every rendition of whatever you could possibly think of, and then Rick comes in with stuff like that. You're like, what? Where does that come from?
Yeah.
So he digs them all out of all the corners. So.
Exactly.
Rick's a great man.
All right. Kevin Powell is with us. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. By the way, get your request in Wild Card Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. Well, let's get to the topic of baseball. The Cubs, what kind of moves are we seeing here? What's going to happen? We hear Jake Arrieta might sign with the Brewers.
Yeah, that was thrown out there. Before we get to Arrieta, if you don't mind, Nick, there's a name everybody needs to keep an ear out for, and the name is Shohei Ohtani.
Right.
And
right.
Many are calling him the Japanese Babe Ruth. I know we live in a world of hyperbole, but I think it's fairly warranted here. Some are calling him a possible revolutionary-type player in baseball. The reason is because, one, he can throw 100 miles per hour. He's a legitimate pitcher. He can be a legitimate starting five rotation pitcher, and because he can hit the ball 450 feet. So that's something we really haven't seen, and he's expressed the desire to pitch and to hit and to play the field. So, like, we in the National League, we see guys pitch and hit, but, like, this is a legitimate hitter. This isn't some pitcher that's going to go up there and bunt or just strike out on
three
pitches. This is a guy we haven't seen in a long, long time in baseball, like 100 years. I mean, when do people play both ways? You know, if that's the way you want to put it, we haven't seen that. So, and you got to give credit to Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer, because if you look at the multiple reports have confirmed that 7 teams are interested in Shohei Ohtani. About 5 of them are West Coast teams, because he is Japanese. It sort of makes sense. And then the other team is the Texas Rangers. And the reason the Rangers are in it is because they have the most money to spend. And I'm not going to get all the complexities of international signing money, but they have the most money to spend right now. The Cubs have basically the minimum amount of money to spend on this guy, and they're in the running. I don't know how Theo and company have been able to do it. They have $300,000 to spend compared to the Rangers, almost $4 million to spend. And somehow, Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer found a way to become a finalist for a player that could, I don't know if I want to go as far as to say it's changed the game, but he's certainly going to be a player that we haven't seen in a long, long time. And the Cubs are a finalist, the Mariners, Padres, Angels, Dodgers, Mariners, Cubs, and Rangers are the 7 finalists right now.
Okay, and that's Shohei Ohtani. I read about this guy. He sounds incredible.
Yeah, I cannot wait to see how he performs in baseball and how teams utilize him, because if you're starting pitcher, those guys utilize every day in between starts. It's not like they're sitting on the couch eating potato chips, relaxing until their next start. These guys have a very systematic routine. They have massages, they have workouts, they have all sorts of things in between starts. So how is he going to, as much as he wants to, how is he going to be able to pitch and then play the field a couple days and hit and do all that and then pitch 5 or 6 days later? Yeah. I cannot wait to see how that's utilized. And honestly, I would love to see how Joe Maddon, because we all know how Joe Maddon is. He's the mad professor.
Yeah.
I would love to see how he would use this guy in a lineup.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what's going on. What are some of the other moves that the Cubs are looking to make?
Yeah, and you said Arrieta. I don't think Arrieta's going to be back, just because I think he's going to demand a huge contract, and rightfully so. But you've seen guys at his age get big contracts. Look, John Lester signed a 6-year deal with the Cubs for $155 million when he was 31. Arrieta's 31, so do the Cubs want to commit another? I'm thinking Arrieta's going to get anywhere from 4 to 6 years for $100 to $150 million. So I don't know. I think he's kind of out of the equation. The next big question is, do you bring back Wade Davis? I think they should. It all depends on money and how that goes down. Another name to keep in mind is Brandon Morrow, who you may have seen pitch for the Dodgers. So I think the bullpen's the biggest question mark for the Cubs right now, and I think you're going to see them pull a lot of moves and spend a lot of money to reshape that bullpen.
Well, before we let you go, we want to mention the Bulls. They've turned out to be one of the worst teams.
Do we have to?
Yeah. But, there is a lone bright spot with the Bulls.
Yeah.
Tell everybody about Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, Lauri Markkanen has been he was essentially the guy that the Bulls drafted after that move with – once they traded Jimmy Butler to the Timberwolves. And he's been really good. He's been a lot better than I thought. He hits a ton of three-pointers. He's got big size. He can stretch the floor, all that good stuff. Some other encouraging news today we got out of Bulls camp is that Zach LaVine, who was also part of that Jimmy Butler trade, who tore his ACL or had ACL surgery back in February, could be back in a few weeks. So that's a good sign, too. It's a rebuilding year. I know it's frustrating to see them be horrible, but it's all part of the Garpack's plan, so we'll see how that works out.
All right. So you played in the Aces Up Poker Tournament. How'd that work out for you?
Nick, I lasted a grand total of two hands. I went into my table like a bull in a china shop. I didn't care. I was playing aggressive. I lost on an ace on the river, and it was fun. We raised money for Urban Prep, which, Nick, I'm sure you've heard of. It's underserved youth get opportunities in some great charter schools and academies across the city. So it raised some money for that. But Richard Roper invited us. He's heavily involved with Urban Prep. And we had a bunch of fun. But, yeah, two hands, Nick.
Two hands.
Really impressive showing by me. Yeah.
That's fantastic. I think you should audition for The Odd Couple at this point. Why were you dressed as an elf? Tell everybody why you were dressed as an elf.
All right, I was dressed as an elf because we were raising toys for Tots along with Apple Chevrolet on the Rokon Show, 3 to 7. And Violetta and I dressed as elves, and we collected over 1,000 toys out Pioneer Court outside Tribune Tower. It was a great day, and we appreciate everybody coming out.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we do it for the kids, Nick, you know.
I understand. Do we have pictures and video of you dressed as an elf?
Oh, yeah, head to WGNRadio.com. Right. You can head to my Twitter and Instagram and all that good stuff.
All right, cool. Kevin, always a pleasure, man.
You're the best, Nick. Appreciate
right,
it.
Take care. There you go. Kevin Powell, everybody. Listen to him on Rokon Show doing the sports. Follow him on Twitter at KPowell720. We'll take a quick break here, and we got the news coming up next on 720 WGN.